Welcome to the Granhill Chronicles podcast. My name is Don Bishop, and I write as T.S. Pedramon. Now, this is going to be a little awkward on my part. Hopefully, it's not too terrible on your end. I am trying to do this take quick and dirty, so I'm actually referring myself to last week's notes while I record this. Today's interview is kind of a continuation from last week's interview with authors Blake and Raven Penn. Because as I said last week, I forgot to ask them the questions that you guys gave me in the question of the week, channel on my Discord server. So I got them back on the call and I asked them these questions and we had a great conversation. So I know you're going to love this interview. Now before we go any further, the book giveaway. So this week, this week's question of the week book giveaway goes to A Groggett, the user A Groggett in the Discord server. His number guess was, am I looking at the correct? No, that's last week. Sorry, I'm making sure I'm looking at the correct message in the Discord server. I did say this was going to be quick and dirty. As you can see, that number was 172. Okay. So, as I record this, it is January 30th. I announced that he won that in the Discord server on January 24th, last Friday, the day the last episode came out. So yes, this is the correct one, because I'll announce today's winner in the Discord. Anyway, so yeah, that went to A Groggett. I already shared the number, that the 172 and the O. I shared that in the podcast last week, but I didn't know who the winner was yet. So today I can tell you that this past week's number was 3 and the letter was U. I don't know yet who won because the contest is not over yet because I am recording this on Thursday and the contest ends Friday morning when this podcast episode releases and I announce the winner in the Discord server. Meaning that until that point, people can still guess. By the time you're hearing this, it's too late to answer that question of the week. But the new question of the week, I'll tell you in just a few minutes. And by the time you hear this, it's probably already posted in the Discord. So the new number and letter, I need to generate those. So let me get random number generator up on Google and let's make a number. That is the number for this coming week, from January 31st until the next episode releases. So that's the number. And then the letter of the alphabet. So you guess the number, you guess closest to the number, closer than anybody else, and then you win the free book giveaway. You guess a letter of the alphabet, and if your letter is that letter or one next to it, then you get the 2-book power-up. So somebody will win every week, but not necessarily win 2 books, but just one. Okay, so that's the letter, the number and letter for next week's giveaway. Now, what's up next? This last week's question of the week was just for fun, and we're going to do that again this week as well. So last week's question was, if you could have dinner with one fantasy character, who would it be and why? And some of the answers that I saw come in, let me scroll down here. I've got Jason Asano from He Who Fights With Monsters. I'm not familiar with this franchise, He Who Fights With Monsters. but I guess Jason Asano is a great guy and a fantastic cook and an adventurer. That's cool. That is cool. Now, remember, when you share your answers to these questions, guess a number between 1 and 1,000 and a letter of the alphabet. And another answer that I had to this question, somebody said, the fantasy character I'd like to meet is Angelica. She's from Angela Dorsey's Horse Angel series. And that's another one I'm not familiar with. And this person said, I'd like to meet her because I really like her kindness and her bravery. Also, her ability to talk to horses and heal them is super cool. That is super cool, I've got to say. And let's give two more. One other submission and my own. Somebody says, Xantos from my Lady of Death series. Okay, Xantos. That's a cool name. I wonder what, other than Xantos, Elminster from the Forgotten Realms novels. Okay, now I thought I should participate here. And so I think, you know, I thought about it, and what am I looking for? What am I hoping to gather from this character, this fantasy character? And like I could bask in regality or try to learn some magic tricks. I don't know. And I'm going to go with Sam Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. Cause he's just got a huge heart. He's a true friend. And I can only wish that I could be like that. You know, I think if the world were full of those, the world would be a wonderful place for everybody. We could use more Sam Gamgees. Now, announcements. So, okay, 2 weekends ago was MarsCon. This weekend I've got drill. You can see I cut my hair. I've lost the beard. I'll have a nice clean shave tomorrow morning when I go to drill. Then I have an off week. And then the following weekend, I'm going to be at FenCon in Dallas for Valentine's Day weekend. I told you this before. And the following weekend, I'm going to be at StoryCon in Salt Lake City. And the following weekend, I have not told you where I'll be, but I am now. The weekend of February 28th, I will be at Confinement in Lebanon, Tennessee. And that's a little bit more of an author-oriented gathering. Rather than a fandom-oriented gathering. But, yeah, you know, I'll go and learn some things. And they do open up for some sales as well. So I'm going to bring some books to sell. But, yeah. And I am signed up for a con in June. I'm not announcing where that'll be yet. Nothing's moved on Kickstarter, on the work on the song, because I've had some things come up at home. I need to work on some things, some projects at the house that really needed to get taken care of. So, unfortunately, that got pushed back. And, I mentioned this last week. So, realistically, I wouldn't expect to be done earlier than mid-March. And I'll try to work on it while I'm on the road, but, you know, you never can trust for that to happen. So, this week's question of the week. I'm sorry, I didn't share that yet. I was going to share it after I shared the answers for the last week's question of the week. So this week's question of the week is, if you could live in any fantasy world, which one would it be and why? And I think I might go with one of my own worlds here, but I'll tell you that next week. No further ado, let's open up the interview for the week, and don't forget to I do need to let you know. So I've opened up. You can give me your submissions for question of the week answers. I'm opening that outside of the Discord. I prefer it in the Discord server. in the question of the week channel because it's tidy and it's a good spot to have things focused in one place. But I've decided I'll accept email submissions and DMs. You can DM me in the Discord server. And you know what? If you want to message me on Twitter or X or on Instagram or Facebook, but make sure you at me. Make sure you get my attention. If I don't react or respond in any way, then I don't have your submission. And when I do have your submission, I'm going to enter it in the Discord server. I'm not going to identify you because maybe you want to keep your privacy, and that's fine. I respect that. But I'm going to share what the answer is, especially the number, because that's relevant. You know, if you don't want to guess the same number as somebody else already guessed. So, if you do answer the question of the week outside of the Discord server, make sure you get some response from me so that you know that I've recorded your answer so that you can win the book. And it's not a book of my choosing. I have a little menu. If you're new to this, I have a menu you can choose from. You can look at it at grandhill.media/prizes. These are books that are up for the weekly giveaway. And I've explained it before. So without further ado, here is the second part of the interview with authors Blake and Raven Penn.
There we are. Okay.
All right. Are you ready for our little lightning round thing?
Yeah, yeah. Let's do it.
So these are questions. This was my first question of the week in my Discord server for my weekly book giveaway. And I asked them, what would they like to hear me ask you? Ooh. So here we are. We've got a couple that are, you know, on topic and one or two that are less so.
Oh, yeah.
So in order of
it's gonna be good.
My perceived relevance. All right. So what made you decide to be writers and what's your inspiration?
Ooh, okay. Okay. So I think that for both of us, we've always kind of had the idea that we were going to write a story on the back burner. I remember in junior high and high school, I always had a Google Doc with a story I was writing. I had a cousin and we would go back and forth and email each other every other week the next chapter in our little book we were working on. So I've always wanted to be a writer. So what about you?
For me, there were a lot of things that combined when I was really a lot younger. I loved playing like games like Warcraft and Starcraft and like building little worlds and figuring out like, okay, what would it look like if I had like an all elf army? What would that be like? It was really fun. But then also, I was an actor in like high school and up into college and throughout. I still am. But I realized that when I was doing stuff on stage, my favorite thing was when things would go wrong. And we'd have to make stuff up and we'd have to like try to connect it back into the rest of the story. And so for me, that helped me start realizing, hey, I can just do that for the whole time. If I'm writing the whole story, I don't have to wait for someone to flub their line. I can just make up the whole thing the whole way. And so I think that drove into it too.
Yeah. And as for what inspired us, if we're talking about this series specifically, the one we have now, the Skystone Chronicles, mm-hmm. I think we could go a lot of different directions with this one, but it was supposed to be a prequel novella to the main series we wanted to write based on a cool magic system we'd brainstormed one night. And it kind of steamrolled and now it's its own giant, beautiful, epic 4-part series. So
yeah, we kind of, when we realized, okay, COVID's killing our ability to do the screenwriting stuff we want to do, let's pivot into a book. We thought through what we really wanted to write most was a really cool series kind of based on angels and demons in a really fun fantasy way that we'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. But then we were like, hey, if we've never seen that before, is that going to be harder to market? And we decided, yeah. So we took a look at the Venn diagram of like what people wanted to read and what we wanted to write. And we were like, okay,
where's the crossover? And that was dragons. So we lead hard into the dragons because we've loved Dragon Rider series all our lives. And we thought there was kind of a little bit of a I don't know, I wanted more Dragon Bonds and Dragon Rider stuff. So that's what we had kind of really pivoted into.
Because we felt like, okay, not only is this a popular thing people like, but also we feel like there's a lot of Dragon Fantasy series out there where there's only like one dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Or there's like a couple dragons, but there's not really much magic, you know? And so we were like, okay, let's...
High magic, high dragons, let's go.
Dial those up to 11 and make the Skystone Chronicles.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. And what is the hardest part of going from an idea of a story to write to a fully written and published book? So what's the most difficult step in that process?
Ooh, that's hard. Do you have an answer right off the top of your head?
The hardest part.
For me, the hardest part is finding time to write it. Like, I wish I had known I wanted to be a novelist before I had kids. I did not know that, in fact. So now that I do have three little kids under five, my goodness, it's really hard to find time. So
yeah, and with me at work all the time, because we haven't gone full-time authors yet.
Not yet, almost.
We're
gonna get there.
Balance that the way that we want to quite yet. We're getting closer. Getting much closer. But yeah, it's finding time. But I would also say, I think one thing that we have kind of had a hard time with is like finding the perfect character for the story and wanting to tell the same story from so many different characters' point of views that like, okay, how do we decide which one we're gonna land on, right? And how do we satisfy wanting to use these other characters, but like doing it in a responsible way that's not going to make our readers lose track of what's happening. And so I think kind of reining ourselves in a little bit, like,
I wouldn't say that's the hardest for me, but that's a good, interested in that being, that's an interesting answer.
Because there are so many, there are so many points of views that we've wanted to tell that we're like, okay, well, ultimately we need to like decide on some main characters. Right. And so we did, but then we were able to come up with a little bit, you know how Brandon Sanderson does like interludes occasionally, right?
Yep.
Where he'll have different pieces of a story told from other people. We were like, okay, sometimes those feel a little bit detached from the rest of the story. So let's pick point of view characters that we wanted to tell stuff from and make sure it's really dialed into what's happening in this story. And we have made something similar in our own books where we'll get the occasional extra POV, but it's tied right into what's happening more. And so that I think has been really cool. That's taken a little bit of the pressure valve off of me wanting to be like, okay, now we need 50 novellas from every character with every possible perspective. Cause I want to know what they think of every situation. Right.
No, that's not what I expected you to say. Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you better write those 50 novellas.
Right?
Hey, let me do it and I will.
You will.
So I think, and I was also invited to answer this question. I'll segue off of that. So what's stopping you from writing those 50 novellas is probably you have finite time.
Yeah, the time thing.
So I wouldn't say that time is the hardest part for me, but it factors in. I would say the hardest part for me is going from concept to plan. And I do plan. I plot it out, and I don't necessarily hold hard and fast to my plan. And I don't think anybody should necessarily. I plot it out, and then as I'm writing along, if it makes sense to deviate, then I do, and I adjust the plan from there. But that going from the concept to there takes a lot of decisions. And it's like the hardest thing as a kid, it's doing something that you don't really feel like you have mastery of, or maybe you feel like you don't know how to do. And that's exactly what I have to do when I go from concept to plan. I don't know what's going to happen. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of mental energy, and I can't just pull that out any day of the week. I have to be well rested and have a good block of time. Otherwise I'm distracted. I cannot get into it. And so it's difficult and it's a mental hurdle to get over. And so then it's difficult to find a time when I can do it. Then once I finally do have that plan, then I can, I go out and dictate it, and it's much easier from there. So that's what it is for me.
Oh yeah, dude, I know what you're saying. That is probably the part where Raven and I have the most friction, is going from the concept to the plan. As we go through, we found that we do really, really well when we go through and make a really detailed outline. That makes it easier for us to write together.
That helps.
And so, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. That's a really difficult portion to go through.
Yeah, going from concept to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this one, you could probably take this a different couple of ways, or you could say it depends on a lot. So take it how you want it, and we'll see. What is the ideal length for a series of books?
Ooh. Well, obviously I'm biased, and so I'm going to say 4, because that's how many hours it's going to be.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because I think it does depend on the book and the story. But I think from a marketing perspective, trilogies are where it's at, just because people know that the story is complete with the trilogy. There's actually a lot of like blogs and things that will be like top 10 trilogies, stuff like that, right? Where there's stuff external to the story itself, where having a trilogy is beneficial. We actually tried to maybe make ours into a trilogy.
There was just too much story, because our first book is from character A's perspective, second book's from character B's, and the third, they finally come together. We wanted more time to see what they were doing when they came together. So that's why ours is 4. But yeah, we did try to make it a trilogy.
Yeah. So I would say, like, objectively, best for like marketing and getting people into your books and having people know that they can like trust you as a writer to finish what you're done with, then it's a trilogy.
Trilogies are good. I think it does depend. Some of my favorite things are longer, like Percy Jackson series is one of my favorites, and that's longer.
Yeah.
That said,
Wheel of Time is 14.
Harry Potter, I see on the shelf behind you. And that's 7.
That's 7. Mm-hmm. That said, if it goes on forever and ever, then I'm not as into it. Like, I don't know. I love like Magic Treehouse style stuff, but there's just too many. It's got to complete itself. Yeah. I need to know an ending is coming, and that it's going to be a satisfying one and not just all right, I'm done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, like, whatever tells the story best is best.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah.
And those work for the serials. Yep. I don't know. If I got to pick a number, I'm going to say 4.
So 3 or 4. And
yeah,
I didn't expect, you know, you're taking it from the marketing perspective. So 3 for marketing. And there's Lord of the Rings, and it's huge. You know, everybody, it's well known. So yeah, from a marketing business perspective, 3 is arguable.
And like one thing that I also want to say is it is really difficult to get a solid arc for your characters more than 3 times, right? Like, I think this is part of what's going on for me with like the Stormlight Archives. Right now that we're on to book 5, I feel like a couple of the arcs have kind of recycled themselves in a way that is not as satisfying as it could have been if things were a little bit tighter.
Oh,
right.
Which shots fired.
Maybe.
You're right.
but it's kind of like, I don't know. You need some, it is just so much more difficult to have something be satisfying for your audience when you need to have the arcs set up the right way, right? And that's the thing that I feel like is a weakness I see more often in books that aren't trilogies, is they'll have 1 or 2 books in that series where the ending is just not
as satisfying.
Yeah, as satisfying, because it can't answer questions in the same way, right? Like, that was a big part of the trick for us figuring out how to make our book into 4 books in the series, was figuring out how to make a satisfying ending in book 3. We didn't know what it was going to look like for a really long time. We combined the books, book 3 and 4. And then in doing that, made a satisfying midpoint that we're like, hey,
we could pivot this into an ending.
Yeah.
And it ended up being better for the series. So.
Yeah. So that I think is maybe another reason why trilogies are better, is because they're just easier to plan. They're easier for the arcs to move appropriately for characters. It just gets unwieldy the longer the series goes, right? And so, yeah, that's
That was the short answer.
I love how this is like this is being its own legitimate discussion, and I might just break it off into its own separate episode.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
No, it's great, and I love having episodes on hand, so I don't have to stress, like, okay, I need to get somebody in to record.
Nice.
I think I solved that this month, because I have my I set up a Calendly, and that way I'm able to. Anyway, so that's a different discussion. But
yeah.
So how would you interpret Harry Potter in the view of character arcs and how well they did or didn't work? And like, did they feel repetitive?
So, do you want to go first?
You clearly have something.
Boy, okay.
So I read Animorphs in middle school and high school, and that was 54 books in the main series, and it was a lot of wash, rinse, repeat. Mm-hmm. But I was okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's less about the character arcs. There were character arcs, but not constantly. Sometimes, like, okay, what's the next little adventure, the thing to overcome?
Yeah.
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 And it built on its
story style. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I think.
Okay.
So, what Harry Potter did incredibly well, and this is something that's fascinating from like a logistical perspective, I think that's its actual weakest point as a series, is the logistics of it are kind of crazy. Like, the time turner exists, but we're not going to use this like in these other, like, it gets confusing, yeah. But it's incredibly consistent within each book.
A book by book basis.
Yeah. So like book three, the time turner makes sense.
It's set up at exactly the right time, and it's paid off at exactly the right time within book three.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily fit the rest mm-hmm. of the series. So.
And she does a really solid job of having each year be mapped onto a year of Hogwarts, right? And so you have like this kind of superstructure to the whole thing.
It's true.
That makes sense to your audience. It manages their expectations in a really solid way.
Yeah. And I would say that it does feel a little bit episodic when you look at exclusively the character arcs, but I don't feel like it recycles, because I think that one of the strengths that it has is that it has Harry growing. So he's dealing with 11-year-old problems, and then he's dealing with 17-year-old problems by the end, you know? And so I do think it grows with him enough that I'm not bothered. I don't feel like the arcs are repetitive, and we do have a series-wide arc, and then we have book-by-book arcs. So I think that was actually done pretty well.
And she manages this pretty well with generally like the what's wrong with the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. True. Right, because that's going to be like this sub villain underneath Voldemort over the super arc of the entire series, right? And so she manages this in a way that ends up being really satisfying, because there's always something good for Harry versus blank to have a resolved ending, while Harry versus Voldemort is not necessarily completed until the end of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned Stormlight Archive, and I am in the middle of book five right now.
Yeah.
I think so. Apparently, Brando Sando has split it into multiple pentateuchs.
Yeah.
Is that what the word is?
I saw somebody online use that word.
Religious book.
Pentalogy.
Yeah, Pentalogy is probably Pentalogy.
Okay, so there's Way of Kings, aka Genesis. Then there's
exactly.
There we go.
Words of Radiance. I mean Exodus.
Uh-huh.
Pentalogy.
Yeah.
So so the series is longer than five, but it has groupings of five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about Nightshade Unicorn, my own series, mm-hmm. and I don't know how many books it's going to be right now.
Yeah.
And so there was the first book. When I set out writing book one, I knew it was going to end. That's when it ended, and that was fine. Then I had to look beyond that, and I'm like, okay. And now I'm drawing the map on my hand. Book two is going to go from here to there. And book three will go there. Book four will go there. But then book two didn't go around there. It went there and stopped. Like, because I was... It took up more pages, more words than I expected.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, I need to cut this off. So I'll take this intended smaller event, play it up a little bit. Okay, that mm-hmm. that's a book-ending event now.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many books it's going to be.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, it could be five, it could be seven. I don't know, but it's the story, and there are, it's determined by the arcs of the story, you know?
Yeah. Cause I mean, we were even at a point, we looked at what it would look like to make our book, to make our series 9 books long, right? We like mapped out all of the,
we looked at what that would look like, and then ultimately decided that we wanted it to be more concise and more contained so that we could market it easier, and partially just so we could make sure that we could do it, you know, that we could have a contained story, that we knew how to end things so that people would trust us. Yeah, these are authors, know how to write an ending, and it's satisfying, you know? So that's why we ultimately decided to cut it shorter than 9. We played with 5 for a while too.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Damn. But we were like, okay.
And I think that also depends on whether you're following the same characters. And that's why I think Sanderson's totally going to be fine getting away with Stormlight being a bazillion books long, is because he's got a contained arc within the first 5 and then another contained arc, because he's not going back to the same characters, right? Right?
Not all of them.
Right.
I don't know.
Cameos are fine. Cameos are fine. But as long as we're focusing on different arcs and we're not being like, okay, let's watch Kaladin be depressed and get over it again, you know, then we're fine.
That could get
redundant. We had to watch it for 50 books.
I do think, okay, I know I said earlier that like there are some problems that I had with Stormlight 5, but I do think it was really good.
Sure.
And I thought that like, how do I want to not do any spoilers, because you're in midway through, right? Like at least one of the arcs is one of my favorite arcs that Sanderson's ever written. It was absolutely incredible. It was maybe some of my favorite scenes that I've ever seen in the Stormlight archives, just from that one character's arc, right? It just felt like there were enough things going on that I was less interested in, that I was like, what would it look like? Because me thinking of that from the perspective of us being authors, I'm like, what if he had taken some of these things and put them in novellas, where then I can focus on the things that I've been more focused on throughout the series. And then there's more novellas to fill out some of these additional things, right? I was like, maybe that's the way that we would maybe approach something like this down the line. You're like, this is new for me. but it's because I feel like there is something to be said for the arcs need to drive the structure, but you need to do it in a way that your audience can keep track of.
Okay, well, that was a long answer.
Sorry.
Short question. No, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, and of course this is all stuff that we're like midway through learning.
We're
anyway
experimenting with it, right? Well, everyone, no one knows what they're doing. That's just a fact. Everyone's fair. Making it up, and they don't know if it's gonna work until it does.
there are writing classes, but there's not really any author school. And I mean, there are classes, but
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a discussion for another day.
And
yeah.
and part of it too,
exploring being an author.
Yes, and part of it too is so audience dependent too, right?
True.
Like there are people who are going to absolutely love exactly what happened with Stormlight 5, right? Where, that's part of what you have to, I think, balance as you're moving forward as an author and you're building out your own audience, is like, hey, what does my audience want out of this, right? Like, do they want more of those chapters? They don't necessarily want it in a novella. They want everything right in the self-contained
book,
right?
Book, yeah.
Like maybe that's just what happens. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
I'll stop. Can do this.
All right. So final question from the question of the week answers. This question is the most off topic of the 4, but maybe we'll find out that it's actually the most on topic. What is your favorite guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure? Ooh, just open ended like that?
Yep, open ended.
Cookies?
For Blake, it is cookies. He loves cookies. Here's the deal.
You really like those files that you get from websites to track what your activity
is. Yeah, I just open new tabs and I like accept every cookie every time.
To me. Yeah. That's true. Blake does love cookies. We did an experiment where we like went to all the cookie companies around and did a taste test, and we found our winner, and now we go there. So
yeah.
Boy loves cookies. Here's the deal. I'm going to tie it back into books again, because if I could have whatever I want, like literally my favorite birthday present that I get is when someone's like, here's a coupon for 6 straight hours of no one interrupting you so you can write. That's what I, that's my favorite thing in the world.
A writing retreat.
A writing retreat. So my guilty pleasure is writing with no one interrupting me and no one saying, Mom, can I have another peanut butter sandwich? Which I love making them peanut butter sandwiches. And I'm going to do that after this.
But my guilty pleasure is when you actually use those coupons.
I know.
I will give them to her and be like, go. Get thee to a library. And she'll be like, no, there's so much I have to do. I'm like, just go focus. Go focus on writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And my wife and I have gone through similar things, not with writing, but like, she's like, I need to do this thing. And it's weighing on her. And I'm like, you know what? I support you. Let's get you through this and get that thing done. I've got the kids. We're going to go do this thing. We're going to be gone for a few hours. Like, have fun. Come back. And she hasn't done that thing. She's like, I had to do this and this and this and this and this. I'm like, ugh.
Girl, I get it.
I was trying to provide you this opportunity. Well, but I mean, she did lower her stress by getting the other things out of the way.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. We'll take the win. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that you did keep it on topic.
Writing and cookies.
Yeah. Honestly, both together is just the best. Yeah, because that I love... because we both do improv together. One of my favorite things that we get to do is when we're writing stuff out, sometimes we'll be able to just like improv off of each other.
Oh, yeah.
What a scene might look like. And then
you
be like,
this character, I'll be this one. Let's just see what happens. And that's how we solve the plot holes usually.
Yeah.
It's a blast.
So writing and cookies together is probably the guiltiest pleasure we could get.
The guiltiest.
Okay. Well, that's the question that we had for that came out of the question of the week.
Nice.
For my weekly giveaway. And I guess that's it.
Yay! Awesome.
This has been a 24 and a half minute lightning round.
Sorry. Oh, no. Sorry, it's my fault. No, it's 100% my fault.
It's fine. Like I said, I'll probably just break it off into its own episode. So that's great.
We'll do it.
Not a problem.
Awesome. Okay.
So listeners out there, we'll catch you next time on the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast.